From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
At this point, there has been no change in the threat level, either in a military base in Guam or in our civilian community.
That was Eddie Bazzacalvo, the governor of the Pacific Island Guam, a U.S. island territory in Micronesia in the Western Pacific. The governor asked the island's residents, which number according to official count about 163,000, to take precautions against a possible attack by North Korea, while simultaneously assuring locals that there's been no change in the security risk level of a missile strike from the DPRK. Guam is about 2,000 miles southeast of North Korea, and it hosts a U.S. naval installation equipped with a submarine squadron, a Coast Guard group, and an airbase. The latest tensions between the DPRK and the U.S. began in late July when Pyongyang conducted its second ICBM test in a month. The U.S. responded by sending two B-1B bombers over South Korea and signing new sanctions against Pyongyang into law. The U.S. also claimed it held a second successful test of the THAAD missile system, which it has placed in South Korea. Pyongyang has accused the U.S. of planning for war, and the Korean Central News Agency reported Wednesday the following from a statement attributed to General Kim Rok-gyom, commander of the Strategic Force of the Korean People's Army. Quote, "The Strategic Force of the Korean People's Army is seriously examining the plan for an enveloping strike at Guam through the simultaneous firing of four Hwasong-12 intermediate-range strategic ballistic missiles in order to interdict the enemy forces on major military bases on Guam and to signal a crucial warning to the U.S. The Hwasong-12 missiles to be launched by the KPA will cross the sky above Shimane, Hiroshima, and Kochi prefectures of Japan. They will fly 3,356.7 kilometers for 1,065 seconds and hit the waters 30 to 40 kilometers away from Guam," closed quote. According to a report in China's Global Times, Song Zhanguang, a military expert who served in China's rocket force, said North Korea's Hwasong missiles have the ability to reach Guam if the U.S. and its allies do nothing, but in combat, the missiles would be destroyed before launch. Song said, according to the report, quote, "Hwasong missiles need a lengthy preparation time, including pumping liquid fuel and entering launch position. In this period, a U.S. spy satellite would be able to locate it and destroy it by an airstrike," closed quote. According to an editorial in the Global Times, which is the English-language paper published by China's state media, Beijing will prevent the U.S. and South Korea from carrying out strikes on North Korea and from trying to overthrow the government, but will remain neutral if Pyongyang launches missiles at American targets first. The editorial cautioned, quote, "If war really breaks out, the U.S. can hardly reap any strategic harvest, and North Korea will face unprecedented risks," closed quote. With the heightened tensions being well reported in U.S. media at almost a screeching level, RT's Caleb Maupin took the pulse of Americans in the streets and filed this report.
With exchanges between Washington, D.C. and Pyongyang becoming even more menacing, fear is growing across the United States. According to a recent poll, as many as two-thirds of Americans possibly believe that North Korea is a serious threat. We decided to talk to New Yorkers and see if they could pinpoint exactly where this serious threat is coming from.
Do you feel like North Korea is a threat to the United States?
I don't think so.
Am I paranoid? No. But I definitely feel that North Korea is a potential definite threat.
I think North Korea is a serious threat to the region, but not to the United States.
I'm not scared of North Korea. I'm scared of who our leaders are in many countries and how they're behaving. They're not necessarily behaving in the interest of the people fully. It's becoming more of a bravado.
Any time you're dealing with a country that's led by an irrational dictator, I think you need to prepare for the worst.
Yeah, it's pretty threatening, and we responded in a threatening way. That's scary.
Can you point to North Korea on this map?
Yeah. So there.
No, that's Siberia.
Okay. There.
That's still Siberia.
Okay.
That's Southeast Asia. That's, you know, that's like Vietnam, Myanmar. There you go. Yeah, that's North Korea.
I knew that you would get it.
Can you find North Korea on this map of the world? Oh, that's Australia, actually.
Oh, wow. North Korea.
Southeast Asia. That's Cambodia. That's...
Okay, so it's here.
Well, that's Australia.
Here somewhere?
That's Saudi Arabia.
Forget me. Okay. I'm hopeless.
It's right... around here, around there.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. That's North Korea.
All right.
Right, yeah. There.
Here you go. You got it. There you are.
I was like, it's close somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Furthermore, it turns out there's actually a correlation between knowing where North Korea is and favoring military action. Those who don't know where the country is are actually more likely to want to send troops. Right now, millions of Americans are convinced that North Korea is out to get them. And it seems like those who are the least in the know are the ones running the most scared.
President Trump addressed the situation in a news conference Thursday. He also discussed the situation in Venezuela, the situation in Afghanistan, and other subjects. And we bring you that press conference in its entirety.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We are having a meeting today. We actually had a much larger group than this. This is the finals. But we discussed many things. One of them, obviously, was North Korea. We discussed Venezuela. We discussed Afghanistan and the Middle East generally. We had some very good meetings, some very good ideas, very good thoughts, and a lot of decisions were made. This was a very important day, actually. Made a lot of decisions. With that, if you have any questions, yes.
Did you make any decision on Afghanistan, whether to add additional...
Yeah, we're getting close. We're getting very close. It's a very big decision for me. I took over a mess, and we're going to make it a lot less messy. But that has been a place, 17 years, our longest war, as I read in one of your columns. And frankly, it's going to be a decision that's going to be made very soon.
And you have full confidence in international security advisors?
Yes, I do. General McMaster? Yeah, absolutely. He's our friend. He's my friend. And he's a very talented man. I like him, and I respect him.
Sir, why did you decide to announce the transgender ban reversal a couple of weeks ago? Are you betraying a community that you pledged to support?
No, no. Look, I have great respect for the community. I think I have great support, or I've had great support from that community. I got a lot of votes. But the transgender, the military is working on it now. They're doing the work. It's been a very difficult situation. And I think I'm doing a lot of people a favor by coming out and just saying it. As you know, it's been a very complicated issue for the military. It's been a very confusing issue for the military. And I think I'm doing the military a great favor.
Mr. President, do you have any response to the Russian president expelling 755 workers from our embassy?
No, I want to thank him because we're trying to cut down on payroll. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm very thankful that he let go of a large number of people because now we have a smaller payroll. There's no real reason for them to go back. So I greatly appreciate the fact that they've been able to cut our payroll for the United States. We'll save a lot of money.
Mr. President, was it appropriate for the FBI to raid the home of Paul Manafort pre-dawn?
I thought it was a very, very strong signal or whatever. I know Mr. Manafort. I haven't spoken to him in a long time, but I know him. He was with the campaign, as you know, for a very short period of time, relatively short period of time. But I've always known him to be a good man. I thought it was a very, they do that very seldom. So I was surprised to see it. I was very, very surprised to see
it.
We haven't really been involved. Excuse me?
Have you spoken to the FBI director about it?
No, I have not. I have not. But to do that early in the morning... whether or not it was appropriate, you'd have to ask them. I've always found Paul Manafort to be a very decent man. And he's like a lot of other people, probably makes consultant fees from all over the place. Who knows? I don't know. But I thought that was a very, that was pretty tough stuff.
Mr. President.
To wake him up perhaps his family was there. I think that's pretty tough stuff.
Mr. President, speaking of the Attorney General, how would you categorize your relationship currently with Attorney General Sessions? Have you guys spoken about some of the differences you've had in the past?
It's fine. It is what it is. It's fine. He's working hard on the border. I'm very proud of what we've done on the border. I'm very proud of General Kelly, what he's done on the border. One of the reasons he's my chief of staff right now is because he did such an outstanding job at the border. We're down 78%. Nobody thought that would be. I mean, in the old days with other administrations, if you were down 1%, it was considered a big thing. We're down 78% at the border, and nobody thought that was possible. So I'm very proud of General Kelly. He's now chief of staff. At the same time, I'm very proud of what we've done over the last 6 months between Supreme Court, between tremendous amounts of legislation that's been passed. You know, we had 42 to 48 bills passed. I'm not talking about just executive orders. I'm talking about bills passed. We had massive executive orders. We got rid of record-setting amounts of regulations. And a lot of it is statutory, where it's a 90-day period, then you have to wait, then it's another 90-day period, you have to wait 30 days. Much more is coming out. And I believe in regulation. You have to have some regulation, but we're going to have a small percentage of regulation compared to what we have. And I think that's why you see business enthusiasm's the highest it's been in 18 years, why unemployment is the lowest it's been in 18 years. I mean, the unemployment rate just came out. It's the lowest it's been in 18 years. And with that being said, we have companies moving into the United States, whether it's Foxconn. You saw the two large auto companies moving back. Probably they'll go to Michigan, but they're negotiating with various states. We have done a lot in a short period of time, so I'm very proud of it. I think that General Kelly is going to be a fantastic chief of staff, however.
Mr. President, are you going to increase the U.S. military presence in Asia?
We are going to look at what's happening in Asia. We're looking at it right now. We're constantly looking at it. I don't like to signal what I'm going to be doing, but we are certainly looking at it. And obviously, we're spending a lot of time looking at, in particular, North Korea. And we are preparing for many different alternative events at North Korea. He has disrespected our country greatly. He has said things that are horrific. And with me, he's not getting away with it. He got away with it for a long time between him and his family. He's not getting away with it. It's a whole new ballgame. And he's not going to be saying those things, and he's certainly not going to be doing those things. I read about we're in Guam by August 15th. Let's see what he does with Guam. He does something in Guam, it will be an event the likes of which nobody's seen before, what will happen in North Korea.
And when you say that, what do you mean?
You'll see. You'll see. And he'll see.
Is that a dare?
He will see. It's not a dare. It's a statement. It has nothing to do with dare. That's a statement. He's not going to go around threatening Guam, and he's not going to threaten the United States, and he's not going to threaten Japan, and he's not going to threaten South Korea. No, that's not a dare, as you say. That is a statement of fact.
Mr. President, can you talk about the nuclear posture and what your priorities are there?
Yeah, nuclear to me, number one, I would like to denuke the world. I know that President Obama said global warming is the biggest threat. I totally disagree. I say that it's a simple one. Nuclear is our greatest threat worldwide. Not even a question, not even close. So I'd like to denuke the world. I would like Russia and the United States and China and Pakistan and many other countries that have nuclear weapons get rid of them. But until such time as they do, we will be the most powerful nuclear nation on Earth by far. The first order I gave to my generals, as you know, Mike, my first order was I want this, our nuclear arsenal, to be the biggest and the finest in the world. And we spent a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of effort. And it's in tip-top shape and getting better and getting stronger. And until such time as this scourge disappears, we will be so much better and so much stronger than anybody else. And nobody, including North Korea, is going to be threatening us with anything.
Sir, what specifically have you changed in the nuclear arsenal? And the reason I ask is that a lot of experts yesterday, in response to your tweet, said that modernizing the arsenal takes many years. It can't be done in 6 months. It's a long process that's only just begun.
We've done a lot of modernization, but we've done a lot of renovation. And we have it now in very, very good shape. And it will be in much better shape over the next 6 months to a year.
Mr. President,
it's a very important thing. Actually, it was the first. Military is very important to me. As you know, I did extremely well with the military vote, Mike and I. But my first order was, we have to do the military, but before we do the military per se, we're going to do the nuclear. And we are in very strong shape. We are going to be increasing our budget by many billions of dollars because of North Korea and other reasons having to do with the anti-missile. So we are going to be increasing our budget by many billions of dollars. We'll probably be able to report that over the next week. As you know, we reduced it by 5%, but I've decided I don't want that. We're going to be increasing the anti-missiles by a substantial amount of billions of dollars.
Mr. President, can you share with us your latest thoughts on Iran, speaking of nuclear deals, and whether you feel like they are in compliance or will be in compliance?
I don't think Iran is in compliance. We wrote them a very tough letter. To the Congress. I personally don't think they're in compliance, but we have time, and we're going to see. We also put down a lot of defaults or potential default situations. I don't think they're living up to the spirit of the agreement. President Obama, in his wisdom, gave them $150 billion. He gave them $1.8 billion in cash, which is, that's a hard one to figure, but that was his decision. I think it's a horrible agreement, but they are not in compliance with the agreement, and they are certainly not in the spirit of the agreement in compliance. And I think you'll see some very strong things taking place if they don't get themselves in compliance. But I do not believe they are in compliance right now.
Mr. President, what's the latest on the leak investigation that the Attorney General announced late last week? And is there any separate investigation that you're...
Yeah, sure. We're looking. We're always looking. You have two leaks. You have the leaks coming out of intelligence and various departments having to do with Syria, having to do with all sorts of different places, having to do, frankly, with North Korea. And those are very serious. And then you have the leaks where people want to love me and they're all fighting for love. Those are not very important, but certainly we don't like them. Those are little inner White House leaks. They're not very important, but actually I'm somewhat honored by them. But the important leaks to me, and the leaks that the Attorney General is looking at very strongly, are the leaks coming out of intelligence, and we have to stop them for the security and the national security of our country.
Mr. President, you're passing notes to the special counsel, Bob Mueller. Can you talk a little bit about what those...
No, not notes. We're working with them. I mean, we have a situation which is very unusual. Everybody said there's no collusion. You look at the counsels, they come in. We have a Senate hearing. We have judiciary, we have intelligence, and we have a House hearing, and everybody walks out, even the enemies. They said, no, well, there's no collusion, there's no collusion. So they're investigating something that never happened. There was no collusion between us and Russia. In fact, the opposite. Russia spent a lot of money on fighting me. And if you think about it, I want a strong military. You see, our budget is up by, it will be hundreds of billions of dollars soon, our military budget. Russia doesn't like that. Hillary was going to cut the budget substantially, the military budget. Russia is very important for Russia, oil and gas. We are now an exporter because of an incredible 6 months that I had, an exporter of oil and gas. That's bad for Russia. I always said, I don't think Russia wants me because I want a strong military and I want low energy prices. Energy is a disaster. Low energy prices is a disaster for Russia. Additionally, it seems that Russia spent a lot of money on that false report, and that was Russian money. And I think it was Democrat money, too. You could say that was collusion. Plus, the Democrats colluded on the Ukraine, so they colluded. And then when you get down to it, why isn't the FBI looking at the DNC server? You have a server that the Democrats refuse to give to the FBI. Now, I don't know how the FBI can investigate something if the DNC, the Democrats, refuse to give the server. So we have an investigation of something that never took place. And all I say is work with them, because this is an event that never took place. Now, as far as somebody else, where did they file the right papers, or did they forget to file a paper? you know, I guarantee if you went around and looked at everybody that made a speech or whatever these people did, that's up to them. Did they do something wrong because they didn't file the right document or whatever? Perhaps you'll have to look at them, but I guarantee you this, probably a lot of people in Washington did the same thing.
Mr. President, given your harsh criticism of Democrats just now, how are you going to bring them in on things like infrastructure or...
Well, we'll have to see. I'm not sure that we will bring them in. I mean, maybe we'll bring them in, maybe not. I think the infrastructure bill will be bipartisan. In fact, frankly, I may have more support from the Democrats. I want a very strong infrastructure bill. We've, as of this moment, spent over $6 trillion in the Middle East. As far as I'm concerned, when I say spent, we've wasted $6 trillion in the Middle East, and yet we can't fix our roads and our bridges and our schools and our airports. And I think that's a very sad situation. So I'm very strong on infrastructure, and a lot of Republicans are, but I know a lot of Democrats are also. I think that'll work out. I think it's going to work out very well.
Mr. President, have you thought about or considered leading the dismissal of the special counsel? Is there anything that Bob Mueller could do that you would send you in that direction?
I haven't given it any thought. I mean, I've been reading about it from you people. You say, oh, I'm going to dismiss him. No, I'm not dismissing anybody. I mean, I want them to get on with the task, but I also want the Senate and the House to come out with their findings. Now, judging from the people leaving the meetings, leaks, but they leave the meetings all the time, and they say, no, we haven't found any collusion. There is no collusion. You know why? Because I don't speak to Russians. Look, I won because I suppose I was a much better candidate than her. I won because I went to Wisconsin. I went to Michigan. I won Pennsylvania. I fought a smart battle. That's why I win. I didn't win because of Russia. Russia had nothing to do with me winning. The thing that we had a great team, and I guess I did a good job. And you know what? Honestly, they spent much more money than I did, by a lot. You know that. They spent a lot more money, and honestly, they did not do a very good job of campaigning.
And one more question about Senate Leader McConnell. You talked about him outside a little bit earlier, but have you reached out to him since your phone call yesterday?
No.
And have you given any consideration to asking his wife, your transportation secretary, to help bridge whatever?
Elaine is doing a very good job. We're very proud of Elaine as Secretary of Transportation. As you know, as you said, Mitch's wife. She's doing a very, very good job. I'm very disappointed in Mitch. But if he gets these bills passed, I'll be very happy with him. I'll be the first to admit it. But honestly, repeal and replace of Obamacare should have taken place. And it should have been on my desk virtually the first week that I was there or the first day that I was there. I've been hearing about it for 7 years. So repeal and replace should have taken place. The tax bill, tax cuts, tax reform, hopefully they get that done. I hope they get it done. And the other thing would be the infrastructure bill. In addition to that, you know, we've passed a lot of things. We passed accountability with the VA. We've passed a lot. We're doing a lot of great work at the VA. And we're doing a lot of great work all over. You look at what's happening with the coal industry, where they're putting on. I mean, I looked at West Virginia the other day. I was in West Virginia making a speech, and they are doing great as a state. The great governor of West Virginia, Jim, who you saw, he just became a Republican. He left. His first time in many, many years that a thing like that's happened. He just left the Democratic Party, and he became a Republican, which was a great moment. Hasn't happened in many years. So we're very, very happy with what's happened. We think it's been an incredible 6 months. We've done, a lot of record-setting business. It's incredible. You look at what's going on with the economy, and you know, to me, very important, you look at the enthusiasm of businesses. You look at companies moving back in. You just saw on Friday the two big car companies that are coming in. You saw last week Foxconn. They make the Apple iPhones. They make all of the desktop. They're the biggest in the world. They're coming into Wisconsin with an unbelievable plant like we've never seen before. And I actually said to Tim Cook of Apple, I said, you know, Tim, I won't consider myself successful as president unless I see you start building those big, beautiful plants that you have all over China. You start building them in the United States. And he's going to do that.
Mr. President, you were critical of the intelligence in the run-up to the Iraq war. Should we trust the intelligence now we're giving about North Korea?
Well, you know, it's different intelligence. I have Mike Pompeo. I have great confidence in him. That doesn't mean I had confidence in his predecessor. Okay? Which I didn't, actually. Although he did say good things about me. He did say he had no information or no anything on collusion. So I shouldn't maybe say that, but I will say it. But I have tremendous confidence in Mike Pompeo. Dan Coats, fantastic. I mean, we have people. I think your new head of the FBI is going to be, I think I've done a great service for this country. I think that Christopher will do a fantastic job as the head of the FBI. So, look, nobody has greater respect for intelligence than Donald Trump. But you have to have the right leaders. I think we have great leaders right now. And, you know, you can look at the intelligence over the years. It was intelligence that got people to make one of the worst decisions ever made in the history of our country, going into Iraq. Because they said there were no weapons. You know, you look at it. It ended up being there were no weapons of mass destruction. They said, if you listen to them, weapons of mass destruction were all over the place. But they were not there. That was intelligence. I have great respect for intelligence as led by the people that I have in charge now. We have great people, and I think it's going to lead us to tremendous victories, and that's what we need.
What is that intelligence telling you about North Korea and the nuclear?
It's telling me a lot of things, but, well, you'll probably find out about it before anybody else, right?
Well,
with your leaks. We got to stop the leaks. The leaks are very dangerous for our country. But no, I have great respect for the intelligence community. And I think with the leadership we have right now, hopefully it'll be a very, very successful 8 years for this country. And then after that, we'll continue onward. But we have a lot of things we have to straighten out. You have the Middle East. You have North Korea. We have a lot of places of tremendous conflict and tremendous danger for this country. I will say, getting the 15-0 vote at the United Nations from the Security Council the other day, that's something that very few presidents would have been able to get. And I have great respect for the fact that China and Russia went along with it. That was a tremendous day for the United States. I think it'll have a strong impact on North Korea. I don't know that it'll be the end all, but I think it'll be a very, very, I think it'll have a big impact on North Korea and what they're doing. Thank you all very much.
The president has been criticized in the U.S. media and Congress for his statements regarding the DPRK. However, bellicose language towards North Korea or directed elsewhere is a tradition here in the United States for the White House, as Bruce Dixon from Black Agenda Report tells us in this commentary.
This week marks the anniversary of two monstrous war crimes, the nuclear bombing of two undefended Japanese cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, on August 6th and August 9th, 1945, the beginning of a U.S. nuclear-armed crime wave which has lasted over 70 years and included each and every U.S. president, from Harry Truman to Donald Trump. A few years ago, the American Friends Service Committee compiled a partial list of the times U.S. presidents have openly threatened humanity with nuclear destruction. Here are a few of the dozens of incidents it lists. In 1946 and 1948, President Harry Truman threatened the Soviets over Iran and Berlin, respectively, and the Chinese in 1950 and 1951. President Eisenhower threatened the Chinese over Korea and again in 1956 over the Chinese offshore islands of Quemoy and Matsu. Eisenhower offered the French nuclear weapons to use against the Vietnamese at Dien Bien Phu in 1954. President Kennedy threatened a nuclear strike at the Soviets over Berlin, and he sent nuclear-armed missiles to Turkey on the Russian border in 1961. President Johnson and President Nixon both menaced North Korea, Vietnam, and the Soviet Union with air and seaborne nukes. And President Gerald Ford ordered nuclear-armed bombers from Guam to loiter for an extended time off the coast of North Korea. Jimmy Carter issued the Carter Doctrine, reaffirmed by President Reagan, which committed the U.S. to a nuclear response if its vital interests in the Middle East were ever threatened. Ronald Reagan terrified the world, though he did briefly consider a lasting arms treaty with the USSR. Bush 1, Bush 2, and Bill Clinton all menaced North Korea and Iraq, and Obama declared all options on the table against Iran. So while Donald Trump's fire and destruction bombast is criminal, deplorable, and detestable, it's not new. It's tradition. It's merely the latest installment in a long-running crime wave by the planet's number one nuclear-armed felon, the United States of America. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Bruce Dixon.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.